I've got a lot of scripture tonight, and so I'm not going to even be putting it on the board. I'll go slow, and if you jot things down, you'll have time to jot it down. I'm talking to you tonight on the tribulation. And I think we're in the point of time where we need to know these things. And most of what I'll be doing tonight will be straight from the Bible. I've got, like I said, I've got a lot of scripture. And we're going to start our pilgrimage in the 24th chapter of Matthew. We'll go to the right and make some comments, some scripture out of Revelation. I do believe with the political scene being as it is, with the social scene burning campuses, it's just heathen. They could walk around and hold signs up, but they don't have to burn things and tear things up and destroy things. It shows you that the generation that's in the universities, they have no appreciation for things. It was handed to them in many cases. If you go to somewhere like Berkeley, somebody better hand you something. And they don't know the value of property. And so they're reckless about it. And they are intent. Listen, let me just tell you what I do believe is the fact. There is an invisible war going on right now. It's being played out in the personalities of the population. There is a hatred that is beyond human hatred for Donald Trump. I'm not getting political. I'm just telling you reality. Every president, when they are elected, there's a segment of society that is in opposition to them. I have never in my life seen the opposition as it is now. It's fury, hatred. And I'm just going to tell you, the established political system feels like they're losing their control. And they're geniuses at all this political stuff. Am I talking to anybody? They know how to whittle somebody like Donald Trump down. And they are doing it. Because if they keep throwing the mud, leveling the inadequacies that he may have, it's going to spread through society and they're going to say, well, maybe this guy is not such a jewel after all. There is war going on in the heavens. Jesus is coming in this kind of environment. I firmly believe that. That's why we went the direction we did this morning, and I appreciate the comments that you said. Tonight it's not going to be much of a ad lib, but I want to just talk about the tribulation period. We don't mention it enough. We need to hold it before us because we don't want to be there. Let me say this. We believe in the imminent return. Do you understand? I'm not trying to talk down to you. Please don't misunderstand me. The word imminent. You understand that? Any moment, any time, could be now. We believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Not one T has got to be crossed. Not one I has got to be dotted. He could come right this split second and not violate a single verse of scripture in the Bible. Watch you therefore. That's not saying take it easy. In such an hour as you think not. Am I talking to you? The imminent return. Now you can believe you've got the, and it won't affect your going to heaven. If I believe mid-tribulation, rapture, I may end up being wrong, but that's not going to affect me going to heaven. Come on. Whether I deny Jesus Christ is going to affect me going to heaven. Whether I throw my faith overboard, But to believe in the pre-tribulation, the mid-tribulation, the post-tribulation, that's not going to... I am looking for Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. Hello? And if I'm looking for the Antichrist, then there's a lot of political things that's got to happen before it takes place, so I can go sailing down the river. But if I believe in the imminent rapture of the church, then I have to admit nothing has got to be done. When he ascended, he could have come back the next week. Father, we want to transmit thoughts and ideas and truths to this congregation. We want to do it through and by the operation of the Holy Ghost. We need your help. We need your strength. We need your power. In Jesus' name, can the church say amen? Matthew chapter 24, let me say, the end of all things is at hand. There's going to be a moment, it could be tonight, that the church is going to be complete. It's not going to be partially complete. There's going to be a moment. God has got a day. Acts 17:31, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. Not just some random day. There is on the calendar of God a specific moment of time when the judgment of God will come upon this earth. We need to understand that. The rapture will be the next thing prophetically to happen. Now, we know Gog and Magog and all this in Ezekiel 38. That's going to take place, but let's get the cart and the horse right. The rapture will be the next thing on the divine calendar. The rapture, to put it bluntly, is a reward to the church. It's not a bailout. It's not a rescue mission. It's not God saying, I better get them right now because if I don't, they're all going to be backslid. That's not it. The rapture is God's reward for your obedience, for your faithfulness. Amen? We need to understand this thing. God rewards his servants. And so therefore it's the reward. The rapture will be secret. He's coming as a thief in the night. Am I right? Watch you and pray always. It will be selective. The rapture will be selective. By that I mean, people have asked me through the years, what does it mean in Matthew when it said two will be in the bed, two men will be, and they're trying to make something vulgar out of that. But what does it mean when they say two men shall be in bed and one shall be taken and the other left? Anybody ever read that? Let me tell you what I believe. When it says two men, it means two of like kind. Two of like kind. Two people who are saved, two people who are unsaved. One of them in this scenario would go, and one of them would not be ready to go. Am I right? So therefore, he said, pray you that you will be counted worthy. It will be selective. It will be, the church will be removed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to enjoy what happens when the rapture takes place, when we are translated, the dead in Christ, the living saints are caught up. What's going to be the next thing? The judgment seat of Christ. I mean, immediately we're going to stand before, and that's not to be dreaded. That's not to be have apprehensions about. You're in heaven. You're not going to be expelled. You're not going to lose your reward. You're not going to be disqualified. When that rapture took place, if you were ready, you're in heaven. And then I'm not going to get into the mechanics of it, but it's going to be the judgment of rewards. And John Doe will be rewarded for his service. Am I right? The rapture will be a general reward, but you will be rewarded if you give a cup of cold water. You're not going to lose your reward. So it will be a time when crowns are given out. There will be some people that will be immensely rewarded. Other people maybe not so much. But my reward, ladies and gentlemen, my reward is going to be the fact that I got there. I mean, I'm not going to mess around about it. I'm just going to say I'm so glad to be here. And I don't know how close to the throne we can get, but if I don't get within 1,500 miles of it, I'm still going to be glad I got there. But it would be nice to be able to hear him say, come up a little bit higher, come closer. I don't know all that stuff, but I do know that there's going to be a wonderful time in the judgment seat of rewards. Amen. While the judgment seat of rewards is going on, there's going to be some awesome things taking place on earth. Awesome things that we need to deal with. So here we go in Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to read verse number 3. Well, 1 through 3 is what we want to do. Are y'all with me? Amen. Chapter 24 of Matthew and verse number 1 through 3. I've loaded myself down. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Now, last words are important to anybody. He's going to have his last Passover in just a little while. He's coming to an end of his earthly ministry, and he's got his disciples together, and he's teaching them, instructing them, and he's not talking about how to fish and all that stuff. He's telling them prophetic truths. So he comes out of the temple. The disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, 46 years that temple was in building. 46 years, that even with a slow process, that was awesome. See you not all these things, Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That took place in A.D. 70. The Roman general Titus and his army came into Jerusalem and maimed and murdered and mauled over 1 million Jews in that time, in that invasion. History says, Josephus said, they hung pregnant women on tree limbs and just gutted them. There was cruelty beyond anything you could understand. Jesus said, Scripture has a near fulfillment and a far range fulfillment. The near fulfillment was the invasion in A.D. 70. All right? And the disciples' curiosity is up. He said upon the mount, the disciples came unto him privately and said, tell us, number one, when shall these things be? Tell us about it. And what, number two, what shall be the sign of thy coming? Now, Matthew phrases it in three questions, but Mark and Luke brings it together in two questions. But look at it. Tell us when, so that's question number one. And what? That's question number two of the sign of thy coming. I want to know the sign. I want to be able to understand where we are prophetically. Jesus answered, okay, here's the deal, he said. Take heed, the first thing that you've got to be warded against, protected against, is deception. The people coming down your driveway with their books and material, they are not playing games. They are convinced that they're right. And the hardest thing to deal with is somebody that's convinced and misguided. And so he said, deception, let no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. Now there's two ways to look at that. They will come saying that they themselves are Christ, or they will come representing me in a legitimate way. So you have to be careful. And you shall, now here's where the turbulence comes. You shall hear of wars. Last week, the politicians in America, some of them, said there is inevitable that America is being drawn into a war. Iran is finagling and doing whatever they can, and it looks like that the freight train is going to collide, but yet the Bible says that. The Bible says in Ezekiel 38, Gog and Magog, Persian and many nations with them, we are headed for warfare. Sons and daughters that are growing into war, fighting age, had better pray and look out, because this is not a fairy tale. Am I talking to you? You shall hear of wars. Right now there's war in Afghanistan, war in Syria, war in Israel. Everywhere you look, there's war. And there's war in the streets of America. See, you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Amen? Nation shall rise against nation. Now, you've heard us say through the years that this does not necessarily mean Germany against Russia or Saudi Arabia against... This ethnicity, there will be... There's something taking place in 2017 that has thrown a lot of prophecy students off guard. We've all, and I just read their material, we've all been led an understanding about the European common market. Something's going on. People come real smug and said, now they got the 10 nations. They probably got 27 nations, but it's the, that's a sign of the coming of Jesus, the common market. Well, guess what's happening? The common market is disintegrating. Am I talking to anybody? Great Britain. Anybody been reading Breakneck's? Now other nations, they're saying what it is, a national spirit of nationality is coming, if that's the right word. And Donald Trump started it in the America. This nation was headed towards the common market. Do you believe it was headed? All the wisdom, the hot shots, because they believe Obama, all of them believe in globalism. Your dollar bill will be the same in the East as it is in the West. Your currency, that globalism, you can trade and buy without tariffs. You can do it. Globalism. But along comes this candidate that's now president, and he said, no, we're going to bring our jobs back. We're going to bring our factories back. We're not going to be, it's not globalism. Now other nations are saying, you know, that's right. We are Great Britain. We are Germany. And so therefore it's creating a lot of consternation upon the globalist. I know there's going to be a time when globalism is going to come, but maybe it's not right now. Maybe it's during the tribulation period. Amen. Oh, you hear wars and rumors of wars. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. Now, these first eight verses deal specifically with the first 3 years and a half years of the tribulation. It's bullet points. Hello? Now, verse number 8 through 14 gives ideas of the second half of the tribulation. But if you want to know, if somebody wants to know what are the marks of the first half of the tribulation, turn them to Matthew 24, go through verse number 4 through 8, and you'll be describing the first half of the tribulation. Now, later on in this chapter, he elaborates. But right now, he's bringing it to a concise thing. Then, verse number 9, then. And see, the abomination of desolation is going to be inserted in beyond chapter 24 and verse number 8. Okay. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. When the second half of the tribulation starts, that's when the true colors of Antichrist comes out. Are y'all keeping up with robots? I mean, that's crazy. But it's scary. They're saying by the year 2050, the labor force, you'll be able to go fishing and take it easy because robots would be doing all the jobs. In Revelation 13, it talked about an image of the beast and somebody gave it breath. The false prophet gave it breath. That's always caused a lot of people a little concern, but they are so smart, they're so ingenious, that, who knows? Hallelujah. All right, let's look in chapter 24 and verse number 21 and 22. Am I boring you too bad? Chapter 24 and verse 21 and 22. For then shall be, here's the start of the great tribulation. Then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. People laugh at the tribulation. They make fun of it as if it's some joke. He said it's going to be the most hideous thing that the world has ever seen. Amen. And except those days should be shortened. Now, that means two things. Could mean two things. The daylight time of them shortened, which is probably not what it means. But the instead of 3 years, 42 months, maybe 41 months, I don't know. But I do know the Bible says that unless they were shortened, the time slot allocated, unless it was shortened, there'd be nobody saved. Can I tell you, by the time the second half of the tribulation starts, two-thirds of the world's population is going to be dead. Buzzards are going to be called into the Middle East, and they're going to be feasting upon the flesh of kings and leaders and rulers and military people. All right? Then if any man, but for the elect's sake, the elect is the Jew. Hello, can I get a witness? The elect is always the Jew. Now, I know the church is Jesus' bridegroom. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. God is married to Israel. And he's never divorced them. You get that? He's had grounds to divorce them. But he said in Malachi, I hate divorce. He knows that there's going to be a reconciliation. The Jew is going to wake up. It's going to cost them that they're going to wake up and they're going to come back. Hosea says it. Oh, Jesus, help me. All right, 21, verse number 22. Except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. All right, would you look at verse number 29? Immediately, this happens, 7 years is over now, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, moon shall not give, they're talking about global warming, it's going to be a horrible time. The moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Tell people, I mean, you could literally tell people, you go ahead and ignore God, and that rapture takes place, and that Antichrist is revealed. Here's what you're going to be in for. It won't be global warming. It'll be frigid. It'll be horrible. The stars falling from heaven. The waters, the fresh waters are going to be, a third of them are going to be contaminated. A third of the oceans are going to be contaminated. There'll be, when they go get water, it'll be blood. Am I talking to you? And yet people laugh at it. This is the truth. This is not symbolism. This is not typology. There's going to come a time when this world is going to be in the plague of a ruler. Globalism is coming. And it's going to be under one man, and he's going to be the one that carries the big stick. He's going to be the one that calls the shots. But after a while, people are going to get weary with him, and they're going to begin to rise up against him. And when they do, war is going to break out. If you want to know where the Armageddon war is pictured in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 11, verse 35 through the rest of the chapter. That's the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation chapter 14, that's chapter 16, those are the Armageddon chapters, all right. Hallelujah. Verse number 29 and verse number 30. Shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. He's not going to be coming like a racing freight train. He's not going to be like a speeding bullet. He's going to descend. He's going to come. This is not the rapture. This is the revelation. Do you understand that? I'm not pleased. I don't want to. The rapture, Jesus is coming for his church. Okay? In the revelation, he's coming with his church. We're going to be the conquering team. It's going to be an awesome time, isn't it? Revelation 19, the heavens open. And a rider on a white horse with a sash, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose name is Faithful. And the armies in heaven are with him. That's us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He shall send his angel, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son, but they're not going to repent. They're going to mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect. Who are the elect? The Jews. From the four winds, from one end of heaven, the Jews from all over the world is going to be gathered into Israel, into the Middle East. That's what it says. Amen. So likewise, you now learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. He said, now I've told you all this, all these in abbreviated forms, I've told you the details of the tribulation period. Now here's how you need to know. Remember the fig tree. When it begins to bud in all the trees of the field, you know that summer is nigh. When you see this shuffling going on, you know that the rapture is at hand. Amen. So likewise you, verse number 33, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Heaven and earth, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. On earth, while we are in the heavens, there's going to be a superman, super politician that's going to step out. I'm persuaded that he's somewhere on earth right now in political position. He's going to be the tool of the devil. And he's going to be persuasive, speaking great words, flattering. And he's going to have the world mesmerized over him. I mean, I watched the movie about Hitler. Unbelievable. A man as sinister as he was, yet the people flocked to him, even though he was a murderous person. People are swayed by personalities. Hallelujah. So there's going to be a superstar on earth that's going to climb the ladder swiftly and get in power. And he's going to manipulate people as no ends. There's going to be an international war going on. The Bible teaches this union of nations, but they're not together now. A new move is this globalism is going to slow it down. But the Antichrist is going to claim three nations to start with. Seven nations out of ten is going to join with him. And he's going to be coming in, chapter 6, a horse is released. John saw a white horse with a rider on it. Had a bow, but he had no arrow, no ammunition. Daniel said he comes in chapter 7 and 8. He comes in speaking flattering words, mesmerizing people. And they give him allegiance. And he climbs the ladder of dictatorship. And he has the world in captivity by his word, by his language, by his conduct. And it's going to be a horrible and awesome time. But we're going to be in heaven. Can you imagine the red horse of Revelation chapter 6? While we're in heaven, that red horse is released. And it's going to go forth fighting. And it's going to be war. War was given to him. He goes and he takes peace away from the earth. He's got a great sword. Amen. And behind the red horse comes the black horse. Famine. I mean, there was a time in the United States when many rural people had their cow in the cow pen, their pig in the pig pen, their garden, and they could survive. But convenience has sent the electric lines out to your house, and convenience has said you don't need to raise your pig or your cow. We got 100,000 of them over here penned up. We pump the juice in them and get them swollen and kill them, and you go to the market and buy them. And when the famine comes, they won't be in the market. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. The Antichrist, he rules with an iron fist. The red horse is followed by a black horse. And the black horse is followed by death. Pale horse. And hell was on that horse. Oh, it's going to be an awesome thing. It's going to be a heartbreaking situation. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be there. Nature explodes. Let's move to Revelation chapter number 6. Are you getting anything out of this? I'm trying to get it together tonight just to launch it, but I really feel like that it would be pleasing for the Holy Ghost to be able to get in depth in this on Sunday evenings and just preach prophecy from the Bible on Sunday evening. We don't have to go through some rigmarole. We can spend a few weeks in step number one, the rapture, step number two, the tribulation, step number two, the Antichrist, and so forth and so on. I think it would be profitable for us. Your attendance would tell us whether it would be or not. Chapter 6 of Revelation, tell me if you've got it. Verse number 12. I beheld him when he'd opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. And the sun became, this is not figuratively speaking. This is not some idea. This is reality. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. People are walking. Husbands, wives, young people. People that have never seen hardship before. All at once, they're not going to know what to do, where to turn. I mean, the heavens are going to turn black, dark, earthquake. It's going to be, the Bible lists one earthquake that is so awesome that it would dislodge every city on planet Earth. Amen? I mean, that's going to be it's going to change the topography of planet Earth. All right? Every heaven departed, the stars of heaven, as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place, and kings of the earth and great men and rich men and chief captains, mighty men, bondmen, freemen, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and they cried out, mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face. For the great day of his wrath is coming. Who shall be able to stand? Do you get that? Isn't that that's awesome? Chapter 9 of Revelation, verse number 18. By these were a third, and it talks about this. I'll read verse number 17. I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacinth. Brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was the third part of men killed. Listen to this. The third part of men killed by fire and by smoke and by brimstone that issued out of their mouth. And their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. It's an awesome thing. Do you get that? Chapter 9 and verse number 18. We just read that. Okay. I'm going to read some scripture to you from the book of Isaiah. We're moving in, coming around the curve toward the landing place. Have you understood what I mean? I'm trying to keep it straight from the Bible. It's going to be beyond description. I mean, the extremes. People in heaven are going to have a time like they've never had before. It's going to be joy. People on earth are going to have a time of misery and pain like they've never had. I mean, I remember, and most people my age and all remember Mount St. Helens and what the old man named Truman that wouldn't move. He stayed. They warned him. And he said, "I'm staying." And that mountain blew. And even some of the what do you call the ash, came to the East Coast. People were devastated. That's going to be multiplied hundreds of times. They're talking about earthquakes coming through central United States, the Oklahoma area. It's a heartbreaking thing. The stars of heaven will fall. Oceans and fresh waters will be contaminated. Plagues and disease and fear will prevail. Money will be of no value. Isaiah chapter 2 said they'll cast their silver and gold into the caves and into the dens of the earth. Two-thirds of the earth population will perish, and there will be other calamities yet to come. And in chapter 9, I believe it is, said, they repented not. With all this going on, they repented not. They cursed God. Let me read a few verses from Isaiah. Are y'all up to it? Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, maketh it waste and turneth it upside. This is not figure speaking. This is literal. Turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord. Don't give credit to the devil for this tribulation period. It's the day of the Lord. Amen. For the Lord has spoken this word, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell thereon are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. It's chapter 24, verse 1, 3, and 6. In chapter 24, verse 19 through 21, the earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, the earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. Isaiah 26, verse 20 and 21. Come, my people, Israel, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall also disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Let the psalmist speak in 46 in verse number 6. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, God uttered his voice, the earth melted. So it's God, not the devil, that's doing this, who will shake the earth, who will make the earth empty and waste, turning it upside down. It's God who will dissolve the earth. I mean, we hear this slurpy, you know, God is good. We know God is good. This is the time that God is displaying his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. But for that era that's coming up, it's over. People say, well, will there be people saved in the tribulation? I believe the only people saved in the tribulation will be the people who have never heard the gospel. 144,000 evangelists are going to go forth. Angels are going to fly through the air preaching the everlasting gospel. They're going to cover the planet, every piece of jungle, every place where human beings are. And those who've never heard will hear and have an opportunity to get right with God. But I believe I've got Bible to back it up. People that have heard and have listened and have scorned and tossed it aside, I believe it's over. I really do believe that. And that's why we need to do everything we can to get our loved ones to listen to what the scripture says. Jeremiah 30 and verse number 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Time of Jacob's trouble. Listen, if you stood on a bridge and dropped a rock in the water, there's going to be an epic center. You understand that? There's going to be one place that's going to feel the impact more than all the other places. But the whole area, if you stood on that bridge and dropped that five-pound rock, it's going to ripple across the little bridge, the creek. But there's going to be one point that's going to get the load of it. Israel, the Middle East is going to be the center. That's going to be the epic center. But it's going to be worldwide. Worldwide. Oh, God help us. Amen. Daniel prophesied. He shall, talking about the Antichrist, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. 7 years divided into two areas, 3.5 years and 3.5 years. At the end of that first 3.5 years, Antichrist is going to be assassinated. Revelation chapter 13. When he's assassinated, I'm not a liberal person. I'm not a liberal Bible student. I believe he's going to be dead. I know the liberal people say, well, he swooned or something. No, he died. The Bible said he was slain. Now, here's what I believe, and I think there's enough Bible to back it up. While he's laying there in that dead state, the devil is going to literally enter into his body and raise him up. It'll be the Antichrist human body, but it will be animated by the devil. He will be the house. Just like the Holy Ghost needs a house, the devil needs a house. And that Antichrist is the house he's after, because that's his only opportunity to defeat Jesus Christ, is what he thinks. So he's going to indwell. But while that Antichrist is laying there in chapter 13 of Revelation, people around the world, satellite TV does this, people around the world will view it and they will rejoice. Even with plagues, this is what gets my mind. Even with the plagues and turmoil and famine and heartache, they will be dancing in the street and sending gifts to one another. Revelation 13. Why? Because the Antichrist, well, let me fast forward. Because chapter 12 talks about two witnesses. And we believe them to be Moses and Elijah. And they're going to lay in the street of Israel, Jerusalem, for 3.5 days. And then they're going to get up. The Antichrist is going to be laying for 3 days. He's going to get up. And the world is going to send gifts after each other. And they're going to just marvel at this. And the second half of the tribulation is going to be indescribable. When you see that Antichrist, when he raises up and life comes back in him, he's going to walk in the temple in Jerusalem. There's going to be another temple built. And with the equipment they've got now and technology they got now, it won't be no 46 years in building it. They'll be able to put it together. And the Antichrist, there's one spot in that temple. The devil hates two people, two groups. The devil hates the Jew and he hates the Christian. So he knows that there's one spot in that temple that is designed for the Messiah. And the devil walks in that most holy place and sits down, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, sits down and proclaims boldly that he is God. And the false prophet steps out of the shadows and said, yes, you are. So therefore, let us make sure that you're worshipped worldwide, not just in the Middle East. It's not an Arab, Islam, no. Worldwide worship. And so the false prophet says, here's what we've got to do. We've got to make an image, create an image, and we've got to issue a mark. And everybody on planet Earth, I don't care who they are, they're be obligated to receive the mark of the beast. You've read that, 666, the mark of the beast. Oh, God help us. But ladies and gentlemen, whoever's on this earth that receives that mark of the beast, it is over. There's no hope for them. They've signed their doom. If you were to be left behind, let me just give you a word of caution. Try to find the Bible somewhere. Try to hold on. You won't have the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. You won't have the wooing spirit of the Holy Ghost. You won't have the concern, the coaching of the Holy Ghost. It'll be sheer faith. But listen to me. Don't take the mark of the beast, because there's no turning back. Oh, am I talking to you? Okay, let's go a couple of more. Daniel prophesied that the Antichrist in Daniel chapter 9, 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. Chapter in Joel spoke of the time, the alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, as a day of destruction. From the Almighty shall it come. In Joel chapter 2 and verse number 1 and 2, blow you the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is high at hand, a day of darkness, of gloominess, of clouds, of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong there have not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to many generations. Amos, we'll read from Amos 1 or 2 verses. I'm pushing on here. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. It says, if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or he went out the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? Have you understood the things I'm cutting everything short, but have you understood the things that I've tried to read? I just believe that we need to be alert, aware, because we don't have to be there. We don't have to be involved in this stuff. Jesus came so that we could avoid this. He came and gave his life so that we would be able to be spared. I don't want to be a part of it. People hypothesize. People say this is just, you read liberal commentaries and it's disgusting. They say this is just figuratively speaking, that this does not really bear weight. It does bear weight. It is the truth of God. There will be human beings that will be involved in this. And it could begin, as I close, let me say something I've said many times before. When I grew up, I would listen to preachers preach on these things. And the seed got planted in my mind that if the rapture took place at 12 o'clock on Monday afternoon, the tribulation would start at 12:01 Monday afternoon. I don't know why I believe that. I don't know why that got stuck in my mind. But that's not biblical. It could. But there's going to be a common sense logic tells you, and the scripture bears it out, that there's going to be a space of time between the rapture and the signing of the covenant by the Antichrist. It may be a month. It may be 6 months. It may be a year. But when the rapture takes place and millions of people are gone, and don't play games with our mind. There's going to be a lot of people gone. It's going to be more than just, you know, a handful of Pentecostals. There's going to be God-fearing, true, Holy Ghost-touched people, Spirit-led people that's going to be gone. And it's going to create millions of them, and it's going to create consternation. There's going to be politicians trying to say, what shall we do? And they'll come up with all kind of ideas, all kind of suggestions. It was this, that, or the other. But they won't have an answer for it. But that Antichrist, animated by the devil, is going to step out with the solution. Jesus said, I come in my name, and in John 5:43, I come in my name and you would not receive me. But if one comes in his own name, him you will receive. And so he's going to come out and he's going to have a solution. And he's going to sign a covenant with the Jew. A 7-year, why 7-year? I don't know. But he's going to sign a 7-year covenant with the Jew. And they're going to relax. Mr. Trump had encouraged Netanyahu to go ahead with the building of 5,500 settlements. Now the politicians have started chewing on Mr. Trump, so now he's cautioned the leader of Israel, back off from building the settlements. It's just a jarring, it's just a heartbreaking conflict. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Would you stand with me? Would you say, at least in your mind, I know you tried, Pastor. Hallelujah. Is there one here tonight that if that trumpet were to sound, you're not sure that you'd be ready to meet it? Most of us can remember the days in the church when the coming of the Lord was foremost in our mind. Maybe the preachers did use it to scare us. I don't know. I'm a small child, and I go to church on a Sunday night, and he's going to talk about the coming of the Lord and the lake of fire. I'm standing there and say, oh. You get older, then you've heard it so much that you just kind of yawn at it, and it loses its severity. But it don't take away the meaning. It don't take away the reality. Is there anyone here tonight? You say, Pastor, I want to pray. I just want to. God bless you. Father, bless the people.